the YouTube video first.
Is headed to Arizona today, where she'll push for abortion rights.
The Arizona Supreme Court set the state's abortion rights back 160 years, upholding a Civil War-era abortion ban.
The state Supreme Court ruled to reinstate a near-total abortion ban dating back to the Civil War. The ruling has prompted protests and sparked a new campaign slogan for Democrats. Donald Trump did this.
She's going to be saying, we all must understand who is to blame. Donald Trump is the architect of this health care crisis. If Donald Trump gets the chance, he will sign a national abortion ban. Here's what a second Trump term looks like. More bans, more suffering, less freedom.
I'm constantly hearing from Republican girlfriends who are horrified by what we're seeing in Texas, what we're seeing in Arizona, South Dakota, some of these, the most extreme bans on abortion.
If you're okay rolling that back.
Just let me know when I can start talking.
When things were not even a state.
I don't remember.
When we had no say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how's that going to roll? Mm-hmm. Remember I said ages ago, you know, in their minds, they want to bring slavery back.
Trump, until a few days ago, was taking credit for having overturned Roe v. Wade because he appointed the three judges that have made this difference.
So I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of Roe v. Wade.
And so now he's trying to distance himself from this. He owns this. This is all about Donald Trump. This is the consequence of Donald Trump's presidency. This is the consequence of the people who voted for Jill Stein. And we have a way to stop this. We have a way to stop this. Electing a Congress that won't impose a federal ban. Electing a president who will stand between us and more rights being taken away, us turning into the handmaid's tale, electing governors, electing senators. We have a way to stop this, and it is our vote. So women, we need to stand in solidarity with each other. Men, you need to stand in solidarity with us, and we need to roll this back and take back our agency and our right to choose what we do with our bodies.
Because of Donald Trump, millions of women lost the fundamental freedom to control their own bodies.
This is on Donald Trump.
There's no one more responsible for the fact that we are here today than Donald Trump.
It's okay.
This is what we see in a second Donald Trump term, and everyone should be concerned.
And I must say this to any Republican listening anywhere. When women do not have bodily autonomy, they are not full, free, and equal citizens of this representative democracy.
What I hope and pray is that there are enough people who believe that no one else has the right to tell a woman that she has to use her body in a way that she doesn't want to. And it has so many other things that are attached to it, her freedom, her economic future, how she decides and how she wants to have a family. All of these things are connected to it. And when you take the power away from a woman to be able to make those decisions about her health care, about her choices, it just becomes untenable for me. And so that's how I would say for a person who says, you absolutely don't have the right to do that. I just say to them, you do you. You don't have the right to do somebody else.
Democrats took a loss from 2022 and turned it into a winning issue, abortion. We took that loss, we won on it, and guess what? We're going to win on it this year, too. I think that's pretty amazing.
Do you see the path to victory for Democrats, putting abortion on the ballot state by state by state by state? And as we have already seen.
Absolutely. I think we have to be careful about counting on ballot measures, though, to do the trick, because, you know, there's a lot of resistance. Okay. You know, even when the people have spoken, you've got Republicans trying to obstruct the people's will. But I know that when Democrats speak about a woman's freedom to make choices about her own body, how difficult those choices can be, but that's her right and that's her freedom to do it, we always win.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us. My name is Karen Byrne, and I love technology, and I am joined by my friend and co-host on True Blue Politics podcast, Anita Ferguson, and we are honored to be filming our favorite kitchen table progressive, Paul Richardson, who is traveling this week. Hello, Anita.
Hello, Karen. So let's talk about what we just heard.
So, well, before we get begin this important discussion, the number to call in is 773-763-9278. So, Anita, what we just heard was from the YouTube channel YCBB, or You Can't Beat This, titled Women Revolt Against Trump. And I'm guessing that you have some thoughts on the content of that video. Are you there? I think we lost Anita Henry. Okay. So basically what it is, you know, it goes over the reaction of women with this ruling in Arizona by the Supreme Court that has basically taken women in Arizona back to 1863 with one of the most severe abortion bans yet. So, you know, I don't think that the Republicans anticipated the backlash as evidenced by the, the reaction and the kind of the backpedaling by Carrie Lake. And then Donald Trump came out with the video, basically, you know, kind of going back and forth on his position and talking about exceptions, you know. So first he's for a national ban, and he's bragging about stacking the Supreme Court with conservative justices, and bragging that, yeah, I did that. I overturned Roe v. Wade. And so here we are. And women are pissed. Women across this country are pissed. So is Anita back with us? Anita, are you back? Okay. So Anita is having some technical issues.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
So I was how Donald Trump, you know, was bragging about stacking the Supreme Court that overturned Roe.
Yeah, he's been bragging about it since it happened. I don't think he really understands what the ramifications. He thinks he can talk his way out of it, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's trying this kind of like, it's just the states' rights. Like, basically, he's just reiterating what he did by saying it's going back to the states. I mean, that's the problem, isn't it? And then, of course, he made that stupid statement on Tuesday. And then the next day, Arizona brought back that 1864 law from 1864, and right. it just kind of put it in perspective what he's, you know, what kind of damage this is doing by allowing the states to just kind of like this, you know, one state's doing this and other states, and the problem with that is human rights should not be determined by the states. It has to be done. Yeah. If we allowed the states to determine what human rights we were going to allow, we would still be segregated in the South.
Right.
Because the majority of people that are the majority in the South probably would have voted for segregation, would not have wanted segregation for many, many years after Brown v. Board of Education.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, at the time when Brown was ruled on, segregation in the South was very popular. That was not something that people wanted to get away with. I mean, wanted to do away with.
Right.
So it's kind of the same thing here. You cannot allow human rights to be determined by the states, because we've seen where that you can't have a patchwork of different rules about human rights. As a woman in Texas, I should not have less rights than you do in Chicago, in Illinois.
Well, and women throughout this country should not have fewer rights than our sisters in England or Ireland or, you know.
Well, no, but yeah. We can only do what we do.
But the point being that women, wherever you are, should be able to have autonomy over their own bodies be able to make decisions with their doctors. And, you know, we talk about, they're constantly talking about exceptions as though that's somehow, you can have 15 weeks. Okay. We'll give you 15 weeks. And, you know, you've said it over and over about exceptions, right?
The problem with that, here's the biggest problem, is that they keep talking about the, you know, late term abortions, that like women are just willy nilly having abortions. The only women that have late term abortions, the only reason why a woman has a late term abortion is because something is seriously wrong. Like mm-hmm. their life is threatened. Like the fetus doesn't have a brain and is going to die painfully right after birth. Right. So when they talk about these 15 and 16 week bans, it's nonsensical. They're not doctors. It should be up to the women and their doctors, because when you get to that point, mm-hmm. nobody's just rushing in to get an abortion. Okay.
Right.
We've seen it. Look at Amanda, the woman that mm-hmm. they did Willow's Box. She was 18 weeks.
Right.
The Kate Cox, she was 22 weeks. The woman in Ohio, wasn't she 22 weeks? When she had a miscarriage?
Yeah, 22 weeks.
Yeah. You don't hear about, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 week pregnancies, you know, these situations happening in the early stages of pregnancy. It just doesn't, mm-hmm. women do not, and most abortions are pharmaceutical anyway.
Right.
Like 50 to 60%. Yeah.
Right. So when we're talking about the ban of mifepristone, that is going to affect women in Illinois, women in California, women in Massachusetts and other states where, although Roe has been codified, it's not going to matter.
But they didn't ban mifepristone yet. What the Supreme Court did was, you know what? This is a bad lawsuit. This is not going to fly. There's no standing here, okay? Mm-hmm. Nobody was harmed, in other words. So nobody had standing. So the court, they're basically just telling them, go back and try again with somebody else, with something else. Because they're very open to the idea, let me tell you. Sure.
Yeah. Supreme Court. Take this back and, you know, just rework it and maybe we'll hear it wink,
and bring
wink,
somebody
right?
with something with standing that they can rule on. Right. Yeah. This, and also I think they were worried about the political ramifications of using this particular a lawsuit about where people didn't even have, there was no harm done. There were just mm-hmm. people with saying that, you know, women could have been harmed psychologically or something. I mean, it was very, very, nobody had any standing in the case. There wasn't mm-hmm. anybody that could prove that they had been harmed by it. So it wasn't a good case to bring. And they will be bringing back. I'm telling you, if a Republican gets in office and Donald Trump is reelected, you will see mifepristone banned, because they were using the Comstock Act, that judge used the Comstock Act as mm-hmm. a basis for banning it. And that's, if you look at Project 2025, mm-hmm. that's what they're planning on doing. They want to use Project 2025. They're not going to have, if there's a Republican president, in particular Donald Trump, because he's going to be the nominee, mm-hmm. as president, he's never going to have to issue a national ban. That's why he's not going to say, I'm for a national ban.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're going to use is the Comstock Act, which prohibits mailing any kind of medical equipment used for abortions or pharmaceuticals. So therefore, no matter where you live, you will not be able to get an abortion. There'll be a national ban without instituting mm-hmm. a national ban.
Yeah, and they're giving us a little taste of it right now. So if people think that this is just hyperbole and a conspiracy, there's, you know, the Heritage Foundation put together with a bunch of other people a 920-page document that basically spells out exactly how they plan on doing it. You and I, of course, have had a few conversations with our friends, Heidi Bayrich and Wendy Vi at globalextremism.org. And I strongly urge anybody that wants to learn more about what Project 2025 is all about. They kind of break it down in a way that's fairly easy to understand and equally terrifying to actually perusing the 920-page document. So again, I just wanted to let everybody know the number is 773-763-9278. And since Anita and I are phoning in remotely, wondering, Henry, are there any calls?
Yes, okay. Yes. We have Jim from Chicago ready to go.
Okay. All right.
Let's go.
Thank you. Hey, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hi,
how are you? The way I look at this is I can say that Trump is the reverend instituting the Republican religion on Democrats. They want a complete religious revival in their party. And let me just remind you a couple of things. This week, he had a fundraiser with some select billionaires, came out of it saying, more tax cuts. I'm going to give them more tax cuts and more taxes. Oh, yeah. He's already given the billionaires enough tax cuts already this first term. But this term, he's going to double down and give them even twice as many tax cuts.
Yep.
And all this is just taking away our rights, which is insane. Yep. I never thought, I'm in my 70s, I can't believe for 50 years, and I've had friends as a priest and so on and so forth, great friends of mine, they never brought up abortion, never even thought about it. Until the Republican Party.
Bible. I mean, yeah.
Well, the point is, the Republican Party is used this to bring out, you know, these fringe voters, and it's just gone too far. It's just absolutely gone too far. But
and they kept promising them abortion. They would put it out there, and then they would never. Of course, Republicans understood that it was politically toxic. To actually ban, to overturn Roe. Mm-hmm. But now, like, you know, a lot of people say that the dog caught the car and they don't know what to do with it because they've got this base that just, you know, has to, like you said, there's these religious nut jobs who really are just, they want abortion, a national abortion ban, and they're not going to be satisfied no matter what it costs them politically.
Right. A medical doctor put it succinctly when she said, I didn't go to medical school, go to jail.
Right.
I mean, I didn't spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to get my medical degree to go to prison.
Yeah. But and even with the. I'm sorry. No, I was just going to say, no, that's okay. I was just going to say in this exception, you know, we're going to have an exception when the mother's life is at risk. But the problem is, like you just said,
they're afraid.
That's the real threat. Yep. They're afraid they're going to go to jail.
In Texas, Jim, a doctor can get 99 years in prison for performing an abortion.
What about, are they going to build private prisons for women? Are they going to have a whole, these federal people going around and squealing at each other? Think about it. You could have a bounty. If you didn't like the girl down the street and you heard some gossip that she might be pregnant, you would follow her around for 9 months or whatever, and if you didn't have it, you turn her in. I mean, what if we
have
we
a bounty
can't
law.
Live with this?
We have a bounty law here in Texas.
Yeah.
We have that. That is happening right now. That is happening.
Yeah, that's insane. That is insane.
It's insane. Yes.
It's insane. Our civil rights are being mauled to death by the Republicans. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say.
Anyway,
you got a great show. Anyway, thank you, Tammy. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for calling in. Yeah, no, he's 100% right. And this, you know, I kind of like the level of outrage and concern that,
I do too.
That Jim was just articulating.
I think, he talked about he's 70 years old. There seems to be a lot of people that age who are just shocked by what's happening right now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, Henry, we have a clip by, this is Mark Simone, with WOR. He's a radio host and he was on with Larry Kudlow on Fox News, having some thoughts, you know, just kind of giving us a little words of comfort. If you could play that clip and we can kind of chat.
But yeah, so basically he's telling women that don't worry about it. You can take the bus.
Yeah, you can just take the bus.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, when you have
10 hours or yeah, you can be yeah. Next time you have a heart attack. What's his name? What is his name? Larry Kudlow or whatever that guy's name is.
Yeah.
Next time you're having a heart attack, you know, you can just take a bus to the. I right. mean, seriously, right. it's a sometimes there's medical emergencies too.
Yeah.
And yeah. so I guess so, they Anita, just want I don't somebody bleeding out.
Yeah, I don't know if the clip is playing, Henry.
Oh. Yeah, because we can't hear it this time. It's kind of.
Okay. Henry, are you there?
Is it done?
Yeah. Yeah. Can you play? I'm sorry. Sorry. This is a little. So Mark Simone of WOR, radio host on with Larry Kudlow on Fox. It's the second clip. Just let me know when you're playing that.
This is tricky business. How does this play out?
It hurts Trump for a few days, and then people start to realize this is not the worst thing in the world.
He may come out. He'll come out against us. Maybe he won't. Remember, his point was the legislature, Mark. He didn't mention the court. So this is tricky. State Supreme Court, does that qualify as a state decision?
Yeah, what it is to be pro-choice. Yeah. The states can decide. If you had to travel to another state to get an abortion, it's not the worst thing in the world. Hopefully this is a very rare occurrence in your life. Once in your life, maybe you would do it. Buying a bus ticket to go somewhere to get it is not the worst thing in the world. To your point.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
That makes me so angry. First of all, it's not just going to be a few days.
No.
Women are so angry about this. And it is overturning of Roe v. Wade has caused so much of this, so much pain in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks this is just going to last a couple days.
Yeah. I don't know what the bus. Yeah, no, that's the reality that they're living in. And the fact that you have.
And by the way.
A couple of men.
Yeah, just talking there around, talking about
like,
women's
about
vaginas
it.
And their yeah. reproductive.
right.
Seriously, yeah. I mean, and I mean, the fact that what was I going to say about he was talking about women just getting on a bus and to go get an abortion. Well, yeah, you know
that.
If you think it's about life, okay.
Right.
If these people are actually arguing that the only the reason why you have to ban abortion is because it's murder. They think it's murder. They keep telling us it's murder, right? If they really believe this, then why would he be saying, well, you know, you can just get on a bus.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't see them. Like I always say, they give the game away all the time. These men who are just flippantly talking about women getting on a bus for God knows how long. Pregnant and by the way, having to take off work, having to get a hotel or find some place to stay, somebody to take you there, somebody to take care of you, all these other things that go, you know, that are included in that. It's not just a bus ride.
Right. Well, and I don't know if you saw, there was a statement that was released by the Arizona House Democrats on April 9th. So House Democratic Whip Melody Hernandez added, women will die if this law stands and medical professionals could be jailed. That is unimaginable. It is not supported by our constituents and it cannot be allowed to stand.
It's not just women dying. I mean, we are human beings. We should, I mean, men should not, government should not be making these decisions for us.
No.
I thought we were equal.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. I mean, that's how I was raised, to think that women and men were equal. And now I find out, I guess it's not true because they've taken away the rights of women in Texas and a lot of other southern states, a lot of states across this country. Women are second class citizens now.
Yep. So, Henry, do we have any other calls?
Yes, we do. We have Seth from LA.
Okay, Seth. I think I know who Seth is. Hey.
Hello, Seth, Karen.
Hello.
Is Seth the home of hope?
It is.
Hello. Yes, I'm your homo of hope and yet up here with you. So, oh God, I go on forever on what you've talked about. But I want to hit a couple of points, if I may, to underscore. Mm-hmm. Number one, we started talking about, I was there with you. Well, I'm here with you.
You are.
Standing.
Appreciate our allies. Go ahead.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, I believe two of the people in that case, of the three, the doctors were dentists. So totally ridiculous. And because I was trying to remember.
That's yes, you're right.
Yes, dentist. Number
they were
two.
Using, go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear what you have to say about that. Go ahead.
It's always like they bring the case and they bring the insanity because they don't bring the smarts. Let's talk about the exception law. In the case of exception for women's health. Well, didn't we just see in Texas a case with a woman whose health was in like she's going to have sex? She ended up
with
sepsis.
She went to a judge. Yep.
Right. Judge says no. So when they tell you,
the judge said yes. The judge gave her. The judge gave her the exemption. The Supreme Court of Texas told her no.
Right.
So exceptions are meaningless anyway. Yeah. Go ahead.
They're meaningless because we just found out they won't happen. So. So that's insane. And so this, let's take this to the nth degree. What if, the radical right were now taken over by Christian scientists who don't believe in medical practice at all? So then, so now they would be deciding for the rest of us that none of us can see doctors. I mean, that's just the next step over.
We'll get there with these people. Yeah. I mean, they were speaking. We played yesterday on our podcast, the Arizona legislature speaking in tongues. They were supposed to get together to fix this. Remember, Donald Trump said they were going to fix it. And then they went to the.
I think I lost you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think Anita maybe I kind of got cut out as well. So Seth, thank you so much for joining me. I don't know. I think Anita vanished, but yeah. And I don't know, Seth, if you, now you're going to be my co-host for a bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you saw too, and we talked a little bit about it. Anita and I did on our podcast yesterday the day before yesterday when we recorded it. It will be dropping tomorrow morning for everybody. Dropped today for our Patreons, True Blue Politics podcast. But anyway, one of the things, so this group that we follow, these two women, Wendy and Heidi from globalextremism.org, and one of the things that they said that was kind of an addition was that they're going after surrogacy too. Project 2025 wants to go after surrogacy.
Yeah. Surrogacy. Yep.
So that would impact, gay couples from.
Couples.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So this is their plan is just complete government for the party of small government is complete government control of all of our most personal
and intimate
decisions. And when you were referring to that news clip about, the woman just gets on the bus. Well, paint me white male privilege, who has no idea what it's like for a 19-year-old on her own to have to figure all of that stuff out, even if she had the money. I mean, they just they just come from this they are on the high holy ledge, and they just want to control the rest of us who they think we're living like in the pits of hell. So we have to be controlled. We're all so immoral. So they have to control us. Well, the bottom line is the immoral sits with them. And everything they say,
exactly.
I'm not a religious person, but everything they say goes against everything that Jesus said or in the Bible about judgment.
Absolutely. So. That's right. Can you all hear me now?
Yeah, we can. Yeah, we can hear you, Anita.
You are right about big government. Yeah. They want the biggest government you can think of. I mean, we were talking about this yesterday. That you remember how they used to always say the big government Democrats? They're the party of big government. They want to tell us, you know, they want to control our reproductive lives. They want to control who we love, who we marry, what books our children can read, what kind of medical care we can get our children. If they don't like it, they're going to ban that. I mean, they are the party, and we need to say this, big government Republicans.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, we're at about 43 after the hour. So, Seth, thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks, Seth.
We adore you.
Not so much hope, but you gave us. Not so much hope today, but yeah.
Just remember, everything that's doing is not a winning strategy. Just remember that.
No, it's not. It's not.
Yeah.
People,
hold on.
People are turned. I think people. I talk about Terry Schiavo real quick. Terry Schiavo a lot. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? I don't know. Yeah. Steph's still there. But yeah, when I talk about Terry Schiavo was, you know, people were turned off by that. The nuttery around that.
Yeah.
You know, these people that were trying to make decisions for this man who'd been with this, you know, trying to turn off the machines for his wife who had been comatose for like 6 years. Right.
Yeah.
So
yes,
anyway,
and that I can't think of his name, but that Republican senator, I think from Tennessee, he was a doctor, was diagnosing her from his office.
Yep. I know. What was his name? Oh my God. I know who you're talking about.
So Anita, I think so. Thank you, Seth. We may have a few more callers to get
Thanks,
to
Seth,
here.
For calling.
Thank you, honey. Bye bye. Okay, Henry. Do we have any other callers?
Yes, we have Earl ready to go.
Okay.
Hello, ladies.
Hey, Earl.
Hey, Earl. How's it going?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for taking my call. And the reason why I was prompted to call in, I think it's a little bit larger, more complicated than what we're saying about the abortion issue. I think it's like you were touching on, it's more about somebody other than white Anglo-Saxon, Protestant. They don't want gays. They don't want transvestites. No. They don't want brown people. Mm-hmm. You know, Trump is saying that
Jews,
all of the Scandinavian
brown,
people... All the Scandinavian countries can send people over, send us, you know, everybody from Africa is from an S-hole country. Mm-hmm. And so it's really sad that they really have more to it than just that, because it's an amalgamation of different ideologies, because rich people want the wealthy people want, you know, the tax cuts, and they want to be able to... you know, pay, not spend money for the poor and the helpless. They don't want to feel like they should do more for the infrastructure for the country. They don't want to help us out, you know, and they also feel that
I don't understand that. I just don't understand that attitude, that people can just be like that, you know?
They're cruel.
You can have all this money. You can have that kind of money and not care about anybody else. I'm sorry?
Yeah, but I think they could be raised that way. I grew up in the South, and to be honest with you, it was a culture that people were brought up in to be mean and nasty and degrade black folks and people of color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean,
I've seen it. I live in Texas.
They
so
learned
I know.
From their parents. So,
but my mother was from Massachusetts, so I learned a little bit more liberal, progressive, you know, politics, I guess.
Well, I was so far south, the only way I can get any further south is if I was in the Gulf, because I was in Louisiana.
Earl, I think, Earl, you touch on something, and all I can think is this, you know what, you know who's known how these people can do it? It is black people in this country, right? And it is all about the cruelty. Okay. I have to say, you know, and we admit fully to our privilege, you know, to our white privilege. And the reality of the situation is that black people in this country know full well we're like, how can people be like this?
Well,
we've seen it play out throughout our history.
The South was fascist. Okay. The South was not democratic. The South was segregated. The people that ran the South were fascists.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We had the Klan. We had the people. What was that called? They had those. They had like the people that kind of ran these the cities and the towns in the South. The white citizens councils.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. they were basically fascist is what they were. So yeah, mm-hmm. the South has been fascist for a long time.
Yep. Yeah. And some of the most barbaric acts ever perpetrated against our fellow citizens, yep. right? Yeah. So
not
I think
bad things don't happen in the North, but you guys are just no more.
Well, listen, it's here. It's here too. It's here.
I know
too.
It's there. Well, that's another conversation.
That's another conversation. But Earl, I think you really touch on some very important things because, it is not going to be solely about, women being able to make decisions. It's going to affect men in this country as well. You know, I mean, it affects everybody and they're not going to stop there. Like Whoopi Goldberg was saying in that clip that we played at the beginning of the show, they're not going to stop there. They're going to go after everybody. You know, if they,
I've always thought the root racism is at the root of all of it. Okay.
Sure.
That's just, you know, misogyny, I guess too. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, but racism.
Yeah, well, it's all the evil. You know what I'm saying? There's all of the bad things in our. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. but thank you for taking my call, and I'm enjoying the conversation, the dialogue.
Yeah, I appreciate you.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you for calling, honey. All right, so we're at about 49 after. So, Henry, do we have another caller?
Yes, we do. We have Michael ready to go.
Okay. Hello, Michael.
Hi,
Michael.
Hi, Karen.
How's it going? It's Michael from the Bronx. How's it going?
I'm doing okay. I finally got through. I kept forgetting your shows. And hello, Anita. Good to talk with you.
Hello, Michael. Nice talk to you, too.
Well, first, let me start with the abortion issue. I am 100% behind you, ladies, that government or no one has no right to be telling people what to do with their own bodies, with their own health. But I'm sick and tired also of hearing about this, being pro-life this and pro-life that, and they won't do a damn thing about the guns that they're circulating around and perpetrating the gun violence. All right? If you're going to be pro-life,
They're not pro-life. Yeah,
they're not, because the stuff that the violence they're perpetrating, guess what? Amongst the victims are expectant mothers and the unborn. And you're robbing the willfully expectant mothers of motherhood. So let's start with
that. And children
that.
Are being killed in schools. I mean, small children. Like
no doubt.
Sandy Hook and Uvalde. But, you know, it's just the way they operate. I mean, these are the same people that couldn't wear a mask when they went into a grocery store. My body, my choice. But they want to force 10-year-olds to give birth to the rapist baby. Okay? Right. That's who these people are.
Yep, so, and you want to know another hypocrisy or double standard? All right. Now, we all know that O.J. Simpson passed away late last week, and that resurrected debates on the verdict, which I don't want to be getting into. But we're going from one trial of the century into another trial of the century, that being Donald Trump. Now, already I can point out the inequities of this system. Okay. When O.J. was awaiting trial and he was standing trial, he was a wealthy celebrity, but he was also incarcerated for a double murder until he was acquitted. Whether or not people agree with the verdict, the thing is, he spent over 450 days incarcerated while standing trial. Now, here's Trump, who did a hell of a lot worse and costing thousands of lives with his lies on COVID, his inciting violence, and even amongst the dead is a police officer, for heaven's sake. Why in the hell is he still walking about scot-free?
The insurrection itself seems that it would be, you know, on par with that kind of, he should be incarcerated. He should have been incarcerated immediately.
100%.
And still keeps pushing the buttons pushing the buttons of the courts, defying the court orders, defying the gag orders. Come on, people. Where is the law and order?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, he's your typical well-connected rich white male, right? That gets every
privilege.
Just afforded.
He had 11 objections, delays for that trial. The judge had to go on 11 different decisions that they were trying to get. So I heard this lawyer say nobody gets that. 11 times they had to rule against, they ruled against him, but he still delayed the trial.
Because I don't want to hear people keep saying about wealthy celebrity this or wealthy celebrity that. I just gave you two contrasting examples right there. Yep. And the lesson behind all of this, just as we tell people to get out the vote, I'm also adding, and I will encourage everyone to repeat this, get on out and do your jury service when you get called in for jury duty, because a lot of people that want to complain about this verdict or that verdict being unfair, a lot of times are the same ones that try to skip out on jury service. They don't understand how the court system works, and they don't get involved.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, Michael.
Allowing them have too many exemptions.
Listen, I wanted to share this with you guys. So just so you know, I was looking it up, and so New York City, there's the forecast for the next few days. So let's see. Today mostly sunny, tomorrow mostly stormy, and then Tuesday stormy for the next few weeks. Okay? So
stormy?
My friend. Yes, exactly. So anyway, but Michael, listen, we're coming to the end of our time. But you know, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it.
You know, I had to call in. I love you guys.
We love you too.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Michael.
We didn't get a chance to play Jesse Waters. Do you
We didn't. But yeah, so we're at about 6:55. Henry, I don't know if we have time for another call, if there is one. Otherwise, we can talk a little bit about Jesse Waters and his.
Can we get to one real quick?
Okay, let's wrap it up with one more call, and then I think our time is over. All right.
Here's Annie.
Okay.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Annie. I listen
to you all the time on Stephanie Miller. I called in Stephanie's show maybe once about a year and a half ago or something.
Okay.
But I hear you guys all the time. I love you both so much. I am 69. I just turned 69. I was in high school when Roe v. Wade came down.
Yeah.
And I am so upset and so angry. But I'm working for the Democratic Party here in the county in Western North Carolina. I live near a college town, so I'm talking to all the young folks, men and women.
That's good.
I'm telling them about Project 2025. I'm asking, like I was at the phone store yesterday, and I said, are you registered to vote? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And then I went on to Project 2025. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to fill these people, these young folks. And I'll tell you what, they are not having it.
No.
These young folks here are not having it. And I feel positive, but like Bob Seska says, don't get happy.
That's right.
We were just talking about this, Annie, about how women, you said you were in high school when Roe was.
1973, I graduated. 1973, I graduated from high school.
So you remember very well what it was like before Roe. And we were talking about that.
Yeah.
The women that remember that seem to be the most active, that seems to be the most upset, the most, you know, activated by this, by them overturning it. I mean, because they remember what it was like.
Oh yeah. Well, I had a friend in high school, and when she was 18, her and her boyfriend, they got pregnant, and he put her on. This is the days where you're like, your boyfriend called the school. Oh, Joanne won't be in today. This is her dad, you know. So he drove her to the airport. This all happened in Ohio, Southern Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
She flew to New York, had an abortion. A few years later, they got married, okay?
Mm-hmm.
3 years after that, they had a child. 3 years after that, another one. 3 years after that, they're still married. Mm-hmm. She just turned 69 and he's 72. But she had a second abortion she never told me about, because when she got pregnant with her third child, when they were married, she says, we can't afford another kid. We just can't afford.
Yeah.
But I already had two abortions. I'm like, you've had two? Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
most women who've had abortions already have children. Yeah,
right.
Most women that have abortions already have children.
Exactly. Well, Annie, listen, I think we're getting
so much
to the end of our time.
Call.
Oh my gosh. Well, hold on, Annie, before you go, I just want to say this. What you're doing is exactly what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Talking very to people important. Where they oh, are, having conversations mm-hmm. and making sure people understand mm-hmm. what's at stake. And
what
thank
university
you so much.
Do you live
thank you
what
so
university?
Much. But, yeah.
Oh, we can't talk about it. We don't have time.
Yeah.
It was great talking to you. Thank you.
Great talking to you,
nice
honey.
Talking
have
to you too, Annie.
All right. Okay. Well, yeah, Anita, I think we're kind of getting to the end of this. How many?
Okay.
More
well, it was fun.
Group,
a little technical
yeah.
problems, but we overcame
yeah.
them, I guess.
I think we got through it. And
yeah.
it's an
sorry
hour.
Sorry about
I
that.
Think. Yeah. Sorry, Henry, but you've been a champ. And thank you for kind of working us
getting
through
it. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, so this is important stuff. And I think that people need to remember that, you know, we can't give up hope, that it is in our power. I mean, yes, you know, the courts are going to do what they're going to do with Donald Trump. And it's not looking like he's going to be really held accountable to the level that we need to
no.
get him off. You know, so he's going
to
be in the
lose. Yes.
So he has to lose. But what we need to do is we need to take control of what we have control of, and that is talking to people, just like Annie was saying. So
yeah,
for everybody out
amazing.
There. Yeah, thank you so much, Paul Richardson. We are sending you lots of love and light this
yeah.
week. And oh. Thank you so much for allowing us to guest host. And Henry, thank you so much.
Thank you, Henry.
Oh.